Well, today we return to our study in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 32 through 34. If you'd open your Bibles this morning to that passage. There's an old saying that goes like this: you can kill two birds with one stone. And as we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11, we've kind of done that. Not that we've killed any birds, but that we've learned some truths along the way. As we've really sought to learn what true, genuine faith is, as we've done that, we've also learned a lot of great truths about some of the Old Testament saints. And that's a good thing, because most of us probably spend more time in the New Testament than we do in the Old Testament as we read the Word of God. And it's been really encouraging to look at some of the Old Testament saints and the faith that they had in God, the same God that we know and love and serve. Was their God as well, and we learn a lot about their faith. And one thing we have seen is that faith is not an easy thing. It's not an easy road. And in our day, there's a tendency for more and more Christians to seek out this quick, easy, new method to faith and victory, rather than a long, old, difficult one. But yet, as you go to the scriptures, you find that the way to faith is often a long, old, difficult road. And we've seen that in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to continue in that today. Again, looking at verses 32 through 34. It says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies." Well, if I were to ask the average teenager, "I want you to write down all that you know about David Cook, David Archuleta, and King David," I wonder which David might have more information written about them. Now, if you're looking at me with a puzzled look, I can tell you don't watch American Idol. That's that TV show, and the top two guys were two Davids there. Not that I ever watched that, but no, just kidding. I'd be lying. I have watched that. Not just to pick on the young people, but how many of us could share a lot about King David, or even these men like, you know, Barak and Jephthah? How much do we know about them as well? Well, the writer of Hebrews, he knows a lot about their faith, but time is running out on him. He doesn't want to write a novel about all these people and all the prophets and their faith. So he begins to wrap up this section on those with true, genuine faith. He says, "You know what, I just got to keep moving. I don't have time for detail, so I'm just going to share their names briefly and real quick-like." Well, fortunately, today we have the time. Nobody's in a hurry today, right? Right? We got all kinds of time. As long as you get home for lunch, it'll all be good. Hopefully, we'll spend about a week on each of these six individuals that are mentioned here. And today, the person that we want to look at is Gideon. A man named Gideon. We find Gideon mentioned in the book of Judges. Just a little background into the book of Judges. As we've looked at the history of God's people, the people of Israel, we've seen that a prominent person in the history of Israel was a man by the name of Moses. And Moses led his people out of Egypt, out of slavery. And after Moses died, God raised up a man by the name of Joshua, right? And Joshua led the people of Israel, and under Joshua, there's a lot of success for the people of Israel. They weren't perfect, they were stumbled at times, but there was a lot of victories, a lot of success under Joshua. Well, eventually, Joshua would die, and now we come to the period of the judges, and Israel's success, or really their spiritual life during the period of the judges, was more like a roller coaster, you could describe it. We see that they would kind of get into trouble. They would cry out to the Lord, and then the Lord would hear their cries. He would deliver them. He would rescue them, and they would enjoy peace and rest for a time. And then they would do evil, and they would go downhill, and then they would at the bottom of the hill, cry out again, and then God would bring up a deliverer again. It was an up and down cycle for the people of Israel during this time period. And this is really the setting that we come to in the life of Gideon. Well, let's look at Judges chapter 6, and we'll get a little background into Gideon and where he was at in his life. Verses 1 through 6 says, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian was so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help." So here we kind of have the setting. Israel is at the bottom of that roller coaster, and they've been there for about 7 years, and they begin to cry out to the Lord. And what we see is when God often punishes his people, he will often use other countries or other lands that will come against Israel to bring forth that punishment upon them. And in this instance, God is using the people of Midian to accomplish his purposes and his plans in their lives. And so as Israel cries out, God raises up a man by the name of Gideon. Well, if Gideon is in the hall of faith, one might think that he had an incredible great faith, that he was just started out raring to go, that he was like Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me. You got a job, I'm ready to do it, let's go. I'm all over it." This would have been what we think of Gideon's mentality. But as we've seen in Hebrews chapter 11, that all those who have true, genuine faith do not always have perfect faith. And this is what we see in Gideon's life. Well, let's look at just 5 areas today of Gideon's faith. The first thing that we see, if you grab your outlines there, is that Gideon is a bit reluctant as he first begins his journey here with the Lord. Judges chapter 6, let's look at verses 12 through 13. As we come to this passage, we find that Gideon is pounding out wheat in a wine press. And he's doing that because of what? Because of all the Midianites that are ravaging the food. He's in hiding. He just wants to be able, he's in the survival mode. And the Lord appears to him, the angel of the Lord, really the Lord in the form of an angel appears to him. And we see in verses 12 and 13, it says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' But sir," Gideon replied, "'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian.'" Well, have any of you ever asked a similar question to the Lord? Lord, if you're with us or if you're with me, then why is this happening to me? Have you ever done that? And you know, we ask a question like that, and Gideon asks a question like that, because we often equate the Lord's presence with the presence of ease in our lives. In other words, if everything is going great, if all my bills are paid and the money's in the bank, I got money in the bank, and my job is secure, if my kids are scholar athletes and they're serving Christ, if I never get a flat tire and I never get water in my basement and never get stung by a bee, then the Lord must be very, very close and very near to me. His presence must be in my life. But that is false thinking. And that is the thinking of Gideon. As the Word of God says, Psalm 46 says that the Lord is the ever-present help in times of trouble. God is still just as near to us in those troublesome times and those trying times as he is through the great times, God is always with us. I think it's kind of ironic. It's as if Gideon had almost forgotten what had really happened to Israel in the years of slavery. He says, what about the great things God did when he brought out Israel, right? And they crossed the Red Sea. What about that? It's as if he forgot that for 400 years they were in slavery. And yet Midian is against Israel for only 7 here. It's almost as if he forgot that. And how often, before we get too critical of Gideon, how often do we have the God, what have you done for me lately mentality? You ever get that way? God, here I am. God, here I am serving you. God, here I am giving to you. God, here I am praising your name. And what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately, God? It's important that we remember what the Apostle Paul says so beautifully at the end of Romans 11. He says, who has ever given a gift to God that he might be repaid? In other words, who could ever give something to God that he would owe us something back? That is silly. That is downright ridiculous. And he goes on to say, for from him and through him and to him are all things. It's all about God. Paul is saying this, God owes us nothing. God did not owe Israel a thing. Just because they cried out to him did not mean that he had to respond to their cries. He chose to rescue them simply because he is gracious and he is merciful. Again, God owes us nothing. The second thing that we see in Gideon is that though he begins to heed the word of the Lord, his faith is weak. Again, his faith is not perfect. We see that he looks to his own strength and he looks to the strength of the people who are around him. And then he also asks the Lord for a sign. Let's look at verses 14 through 17 of chapter 6. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. We read at the end of chapter 6 that Gideon goes through with that fleece before the Lord, and the Lord he gives that sign to Gideon. And some would view this asking for a sign as great faith from Gideon. But really, when you think about it, just the opposite is happening. It's he has little faith, doesn't he? Because if he had great faith, the word of God would have been enough. God spoke it, that settles it. God, you want me to do something, you tell me you're going to be with me, good enough, I'm going to go do it. That would have been great faith. But yet, even in these moments of weak faith, and throughout the scriptures, we see that when signs are given, often to the apostles, Jesus said, you know what, signs will accompany you. It is to strengthen and bolster their faith. Signs are not for those with strong faith, but really those with weak faith. But once again, in this, we see God's grace in action. God doesn't get angry with Gideon, does he? God is patient with Gideon. When Gideon has some doubt, God confirms his promises. He does the whole fleece thing, and he even goes through it twice. How gracious and merciful is God toward Gideon when Gideon asks for that sign in his life? And again, do we find ourselves relating to Gideon? Do we ever say, God, how am I ever going to do that? Remember what Moses said when God wanted to send Moses to speak? And Moses said, I can't do it, my tongue. I can't speak right. God, send somebody else. And how often do we have that same mentality? And we miss the still small voice that says, you can do that because I am with you. As Philippians tells us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, the next thing we see in Gideon is that though he had faith, there was also a mixture of fear in there as well. Let's look at verses 25 through 27 of chapter 6. It says, "That same night, the Lord said to him, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering.' So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime." Now we read prior to this that the Lord had made a promise to Gideon that he would not die. And yet here we see Gideon a little bit afraid of doing what God had asked him to do. And though Gideon was afraid of what might happen to him, he still ended up doing what the Lord required, but he really did it on his own timetable, didn't he? And fear can often cause us to compromise our obedience. In other words, our obedience may not be complete in the sight of the Lord because of fear that creeps in. And sometimes it's fear of what others may think or others may say, or perhaps in this case of Gideon, he feared for his very life. And so he was afraid. One thing we must keep in mind is that just because we have fear on the inside does not necessarily mean that we're being disobedient. The problem is when we let that fear alter our decisions, when we let that fear cause us to go down the road of disobedience rather than obedience because we're afraid of the outcome. Because maybe we think we can manipulate God or barter with God to cause him to change his way of thinking. But even if we're shaking in our boots, you know what? It's okay as long as we continue to walk the path of obedience. What does the psalmist say? "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I have feelings of fear, I'm still going to be obedient and trust in the Lord, because I know that God is bigger than me and God is wiser than I am. Therefore, I will trust in him." Well, as we continue to read about Gideon, we see that God really wanted to make sure that Gideon trusted in him rather than his own strength and the strength of his people. So he dwindles the army down from 32,000 to 300. As we read that in chapters 6 through 8 there. And we see that there was a lot of trumpet blowing, a lot of bloodshed. But through it all, Gideon remains obedient. He does what the Lord requires. And let's look at something interesting in chapter 8, verse 4. It says, "Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted, yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it." Well, you and I may not be in the midst of an intense military battle in our lives, but at times we can get exhausted just in the spiritual battles that we face in our lives. We may get tired. And what a great encouragement for us today to read what Gideon did. Though he was exhausted, what did he do? He pressed on. I think of the words of, again, Paul in Philippians, just keep pressing on toward the goal. Press on toward the prize. And when we get tired and when we get exhausted and weary, may we remember people like the Apostle Paul, who went through sleepless nights, who was cold and naked, who was impoverished and destitute, but yet he continued to press on in the Lord. He continued to walk that path of obedience. And of course, Christ, who was our perfect example, who endured the cross, who was exhausted, physically exhausted as he bore the cross, but yet he walked the path of obedience, that long road of obedience and the hard road of obedience. And I'd love to be able to stand up here today and promise you all an easy road and say, following Jesus is as easy as 1, 2, 3, do, re, mi. It's that easy. Just follow Jesus and it'll be so easy. Life will be so easy. You'll never get tired. You'll never get weary or exhausted. I'd love to say that, but I can't. I'd love to say that following Jesus is so easy, but I can't. I can't say that. I could say that, but I'd be lying if I said that, because that's not the truth. And though you may be exhausted, I can assure you of this, that if you are in Christ, then victory is a certainty. Victory is a sure thing in your life, because there is a day coming of perfect peace and perfect rest, of ultimate victory in the Lord. And we sang about that today, didn't we? Of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And so all that Israel sought in the natural realm, they loved it when they had peace and prosperity and rest. We receive that and more in the kingdom of God. And that's what we must put our eyes upon. That's what we must focus on. When we breathe our final breath, when after pressing on and cross that finish line, we will receive that perfect rest and that perfect peace in the kingdom of God. So, fellow believer, I say press on. Whether you are exhausted or not, keep pressing on in the things of the Lord, because there is a great season of refreshment that is coming your way in glory with Christ. That's not to say that God doesn't refresh us in the here and now, because He often does. But don't expect every day that there's never going to be trials or difficulties or weariness. Let's look at the final area of Gideon's life. And we find this in chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. The Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian." But Gideon said, "Thank you. You're right. I am the man. Give me a crown. Give me a throne. Let me reign. Let me rule over you." Is that what Gideon said? Gideon says, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." Gideon took the praise that was directed at him and redirected it where it belonged: God alone. Hey guys, I may have led you, I may have helped you, and we may have been rescued and saved, but I'm not the one who saves. God is the one who saves. Don't get me in there. Don't put me in the mix. It's God. Give the glory to God. Let God rule. Let God reign over us. And in our lives, that ought to be a continual expression as well. Not because of me, not I, right? But the grace of God that is within us. If we never give glory to God, then we really need to ask ourselves, do we really have true, genuine faith? If we're only happy when the glory is coming to us, then we need to go back to Salvation 101 and make sure that we truly have genuine faith. If we cannot give God an ounce of glory, then we really need to make sure we've trusted in Christ, that we know Him as our Lord and Savior. We must really wonder if He's really begun a work in us at all, if we cannot praise Him and we cannot give Him glory for what He has done, for His awesome salvation. Well, Gideon redirected the praise back to the one who deserved it, the Lord. And as believers, we must do the same. Anything praiseworthy in us comes from the Lord and the Lord alone. As the Apostle Paul so consistently said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Paul says that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul knew that from his birth to his Damascus Road conversion to the time that he breathed his final breath, it was God, God, and nothing but God. He knew that. Do we know that? I said it earlier, but let me say it again. Romans 11:36 says, "For from Him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we think about Gideon's faith, it ought to encourage us. He didn't have a perfect faith. And you know what? Neither do we. His faith was often mixed with fear and with doubt, but yet he pressed on. He continued to do what the Lord asked him to do. It wasn't perfect, but he kept on. And so the question today is this, not do you have a perfect faith, but is your faith growing? Are you growing in your faith? Do you trust the Lord more today than you did yesterday, more than a year ago? Are you walking by faith? You may not understand everything that the Lord does in your life, but you know what? God, I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm going to trust what you're doing in my life. I'm going to walk by faith. And God can use us like he used Gideon. And when he does use us, may we have the same heart of Gideon who wanted to reflect the praise, reflect the glory back to God and God alone. Again, we sang today about my salvation belongs, comes from God and God alone, Psalm 62. Again, are our hearts there that all things are from him and through him and they go back to him. All glory goes to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Gideon, a man of faith, a man who loved you, a man who was obedient, a man who trusted in you. But Lord, we as humans, we see the naturalness in him to tend to look at his surroundings, to look at the strength of himself and his people, and to really not put all of his faith in your strength. And Lord, we do the same. And Lord, we thank you for just Gideon's commitment to be obedient, even when he was a little bit afraid. And Lord, especially at the end of his life, at the end of this victory, how he wanted to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for your salvation, for your saving hand. And Lord, help us to have that same heart. Oh, Jesus, you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that reached down and saved us, Lord. And Lord, help us to reach out to those around us who need to hear the gospel, who need to know how to be saved and how to be forgiven. Lord, give us boldness and give us passion to do that. And Lord, we pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.